Wrong.
Okay, good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining us again for another Daf of Yevamos. The Masechet is dedicated and sponsored by David and Paula Bowser and OMO Construction.
Okay, we got, thank you. We're doing Yevamos Daf Hey, and it's a clean break. It starts right at the top of the page. But let's just get our bearings and remind ourselves where we are, because we're this is kind of one long sugya that goes really from Daf Gimel through Daf Ches or something like that. It's like an unbroken conversation. So just to kind of get our bearings, we said in the initial Mishnah in the Masechta on Daf Beis that there's no Yibum. Yibum essentially is canceled if the Yevama is an Erva, meaning if by performing Yibum, by marrying this woman, you would be marrying an Erva, someone who is an Isser Karis to you or an Isser to you. So then Yibum is canceled and we don't look at it, right? And the Gemara Daf Gimel Amud Beis said the source for this is a pasuk that says, Isha achosa lo tikach utzvar gulgalos ervasa aleha b'chayeha. So from the word aleha, we learned that that's true, that Yibum is canceled in the case of an Erva. And then the Gemara on Gimel Amud Beis said, well, if that's true, if you needed a limud to tell you that, if you needed a pasuk to tell you that, that must indicate to us that generally speaking, asay dochelos asay, that if you had a mitzvah asay, a commandment such as Yibum to marry this woman, that asay would override a law, would override a negative commandment. And it's only because that is true that you need the pasuk of aleha to teach you that in this instance, we're not going to override the law. We're still going to cancel the Yibam. And so the Gemara then goes on a journey to try to figure out what's the source for that. How do we know that generally speaking, asay docha lo sasay? And that's the thing we're trying to figure out now. So on Daf Dalet, we said we arrived at a limud of smuchim. We said that if you have two psukim next to each other, at least in Sefer Dvarim, according to everyone, you're going to be able to learn some sort of halacha from that proximity of the psukim. And in fact, shatnez and tzitzis are near each other or next to each other in Dvarim. Well, so was shatnez gediyum tasilcha. And so what do we learn from the fact that shatnez and tzitzis are stated next to each other? We learn that the assay of tzitzis is docha the losa save shatnez, that if you are that you can that if that that you would wear tzitzis even though it might violate the mixture of wool and linen, and then we said that's true according to everyone, according if you hold smuchim, but it may be if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda that you hold only smuchim in Dvarim but not in the rest of the Torah, maybe that's not true, although this is in Dvarim. And the Gemara then settled on this idea that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who doesn't hold smuchim, in Sefer Dvarim he does hold smuchim, but that's only perhaps if there's a specific indication that that limud of smuchim should be followed, either because it's muchach, because it's kind of compelling, that was on last week's stuff, or because it's mufna, because there's an extra pasuk available. And so that's where we are now. The conversation now is centered on the question of, is there an extra pasuk or an extra word available that should teach you, in fact, that asay dochelos asay, that in the case of shatnez, for example, there's an extra word. Hopefully, we're gonna try to figure. We were trying to find the extra word that would teach you that that the asay of tzitzis is docha the los asay of shatnez. And on Dalet Amud Beis, we kind of found a limud to tell us that. Because we said that Tana Devir Rabbi Yishmael holds that whenever the word begadim or beged appears in the Torah, that means necessarily tsemer upishtim. That's the go-to material used for begadim. So whenever the Torah says beged, it means tsemer upishtim. And if that's the case, according to Tana Devir Rabbi Yishmael, tsemer upishtim is extra because the pasuk could have just said, called beged shatnez lo yaleh alecha. Why does it say tzemer upishtim? Why does it say tzemer upishtim? It must be to be an extra word from which you can learn that asay docha losa say that tzitzis overrides shatnas. And now the Gemara says, Tenach, now we're finally going to get to our Gemara. Now, Daf Hei Amud Aleph starts. Tenach l'tanah d'beit Rabbi Yishmael. Well, that's all well and good, according to Tanah d'beit Rabbi Yishmael, because Tanah d'beit Rabbi Yishmael held that whenever it says beged in the Torah, it means necessarily tzemer upishtim. And therefore, the words tzemer upishtim were extra, and that could then teach us what we need, the Aseh Dochel Osah say, but l'rabbanan minagahu. But according to the rabbis, the Rabbanan who don't hold of what Rabbi Tanah d'beit Rabbi Yishmael held, that that whenever it says beged, it means necessarily tzemer upishtim. So they needed the pasuk to tell us tzemer upishtim, that the lav of shatnez applies specifically to tzemer upishtim. They don't have any extra words. And if that's the case, we're back to not having a limud, not having extra words from which we can learn to call a Torah kula to the rest of the Torah, according to the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan are in need for some sort of drasha out there that's going to teach you Aseh Docha Lo Saseh. That's a long-winded way of reading that first line. Basically, where we are is that according to the Rabbanan, we're okay according to Beit Tanah d'Beit Rabbi Yishmael. Fine, we have our limud. But according to the Rabbanan, we're still looking for some source in the Torah for Aseh Docha Lo Saseh, which would then necessitate our limud in Yevamos of Aleha to teach you that in this case, Aseh is not Docha Lo Saseh, that the positive commandment of Yibam doesn't override the negative of Erva, and that's why you need Aleha. So that's where we are. We're learning, we're searching, according to the Rabbanan, for a source for Aseh Docha Lo Saseh, that a positive commandment overrides a negative commandment. So the Gemara suggests, Nafka Luhu Me Rosho. So the Gemara says, why don't we learn it from a pasuk that appears in the context of Mitzora? The pasuk says, Vaya Bayom Hashvi'i, on the seventh day, after the Tahara, Yigalachas Kol Se'aro. The Mitzora has to shave his entire body, all his hair, his entire body. And then it says Es Rosho, and that you think that's enough, right? Yigalachas Kol Saro. The pasuk should have stopped there, and we would know he shaves his entire body, every hair in his body. But then the pasuk continues Es Rosho, his head, Ves Zegano, his beard, Ves Kaboseinav, Ves Kol Saro Yigalach. So it's repetitive. It's saying he shaves his whole body and he shaves his head, etc. So the Gemara says Nafkalei Rosho. Rosho seems to be an extra word. Tanya, Rosho, Ma Talmud Lomar. Why did it need to tell us Rosho if it already told us that he shaves his whole body? Why do you need an extra word of Rosho? And the Gemara answers, or the Brisa says, Lofi Shenemar, Lo Sakifu Pa'asra Sheichem, Shomeani Af Mitzorakim. Because there's another pasuk that tells us you're not allowed to shave your corners of your head. You're not allowed to shave your payas, right? Pa'asra Sheichem. So I might have thought that even the Mitzora can't shave his payas, right? Because the pasuk says it's a lav. You're not allowed to shave his payas. Talmud Lomar Rosho comes along the extra word of Rosho that taught us that the Mitzora shaves not only his whole body, but Rosho, that extra word, which would seem to have been repetitive, seemed to have been extraneous, is coming to teach you that notwithstanding the lav of payas of shaving the corner of your head, when it comes to the Mitzora, that Aseh overrides the lav. He is supposed to shave the corner of his head, notwithstanding the fact that normally there's a lav, and that's our source, perhaps, for Aseh Dochalos Aseh and Kol Torah Kula. From the fact that we see the Mitzora shaves his corner of his head, notwithstanding that lav, that's the source for Aseh Dochalos Aseh. And one more point you need to kind of close the loop here, because Savar Haitana Hakafas Kolarosh Shema Hakafa, that our Tana appears to hold that shaving your entire head is a violation of the Isser of shaving your payas. You might have thought that maybe you're not allowed to shave your payas only and leave the rest of your hair, but if you shave your whole head, then it's okay. Our Tana says that's not true at all. If you shave your whole head, you're in violation of the Isser of cutting your payas. And so therefore, again, this seems to be a limud for Aseh Docha Lo Saseh in Kol HaTorah Kula. And the fact that we see that the Mitzora is is specific. The word rosho is extra to teach us that the mitzora shaves not only most of his body, but he shaves his whole body, even his head, even in violation of the law of payas. That's the source for Asei Docha Lo Saseh. That clear? Everyone with me? Yeah? Should I say it again? Or we're good? We're good. Okay. So then the Gemara says, Iko Mifrach. There's a problem with that source. That's not a good indication of Asei Docha Lo Saseh, because Malu Lav Da Kafa De Shekin Lav Shein Shave Bekol. Because the prohibition of shaving your payas doesn't apply to everyone, right? It doesn't apply to women. It doesn't apply to women. Women are allowed to shave their payas. The issur of shaving your payas is only something that applies to men. And in that way, that lav is a little bit weaker than other lavim, right? Your typical lav in the Torah, it says you're not allowed to eat nevela, you're not allowed to eat treifa. That applies to everyone across the board. This lav doesn't apply to everyone. And so that's an argument for the notion that this lav is a little weaker than your typical lav. And so what the Gemara is suggesting now is that just because the Metzora was told to shave his whole head, including his payas, and that seems to be a source to us, or we suggested that was a source to us, that a positive commandment always overrides a negative commandment, but that negative commandment was a little weak because it wasn't a negative commandment that was shave lakol. It didn't apply to everyone. It only applied to men. So maybe you might say that that's a source for the idea that a positive commandment should override a weak negative commandment, like one that applies to only some people. But that can't be our source for the idea that a positive commandment always overrides a negative commandment in Kol HaTorah Kula. So that's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara now says, Asya Mizakeno. It's going to go back to that same Pasuk, where there seemed to have been a second extra word, right? Because the Pasuk said that on the seventh day, the Mitzora shaves his whole body, right? Yigalachas kol se'aro, he shaves all his hair. Es rosho, v'es zikano. So we already dealt with rosho, that's an extra word, but there seems to be a second extra word, his beard. You didn't need to, the Pasuk didn't need to say that he shaves his beard, because it already said he shaves all his hair. So what's that extra zikano coming to teach us? Ditanya, based on this brisa, zikeno matamun lomar. Why does it say zikeno? It already said kol saro. Why is there an extra word of zikeno? The brisa answer is lufishenemar upas zikanam loyigalichu. It says that there's a specific pasuk of a kohen's not allowed to shave his payas and his beard. So Shomea Ani Afkoim Mitzora King, you might have thought that prohibition applies not only to a regular person and not only to a regular to a Kohen, but even if he's a Mitzora, he would be enjoined from shaving his beard. Talmud Omer Zikeno. So the Pasuk by Mitzora tells you, don't just shave all your hair. Don't just shave your head. Also shave your Zikeno as an extra word, as an extra limud to teach you that even the Kohen should shave his head, notwithstanding the fact that there is an extra pasuk by the Kohen that says he should not shave his beard, he should not shave his payas. And the Gemara immediately says, V'meino inyan lulav she'im shave bakol, t'neu inyan lulav shave bakol. Right? You might have thought that this limud is also susceptible to the argument that the lav we're talking about here is not a lav she'shave bakol because it pertains only to the Kohen. Right? But the Gemara says that we're now bunching up limudim. We already learned that the assay of the Mitzora shaving his head and beard and payas applies even against a lav, Shein Shaveh Bakol, that doesn't apply to women, right? So we already learned that. Now we have a second instance where we have an extra pasuk overriding a lav, Shein Shaveh Bakol, overriding a weak lav. So it's true that we weren't willing to learn. It's true that we weren't willing to learn Asei Docha Lo Saseh of Kol HaTorah Kula when our source was an Asei overriding a weak lav that didn't apply to everyone. But if you already have two instances of that, of a limud of an Asei, a pasuk saying by Mitzora that should override a lav, a weak lav that doesn't apply to everyone. So the first one goes, will teach us that the aseh will be docha a lav sheino shava bakol, that doesn't apply to everyone. But once you have a second one, we have a concept in darshing psukim of im eino inyan. If you can't apply that to this category, because you already have that category covered by the first limud, so then there's an extra pasuk out there, and it's willing to be applied to something else, and so therefore we're going to apply that even to a lav hashaveh bakol. We're going to apply that to say aseh docha lo aseh in kol haTorah kula. Fine. The Gemara then says, "Vakati itzrich." That pasuk isn't really available for us to learn. Aseh docha lo aseh. Why? Salka daita chamina. I might have thought, "Shiny kohanim hoel v'riba bahen akas of mitzvos yaseros." Afil lav shein shava bakol lo dachi. Kohanim are in a special category because kohanim have lots and lots of mitzvos. And so I might have thought that Kohanim, since this is a way to say that the category of Kohen is even more chamor, not less chamor, right? Where before we were saying that the Kohen, just like the man, is in a, the Kohen, the lav of a Kohen shaving his payas or his beard is less chamor. And that's why it's more likely for us to say, or easier for us to say, aseh docha lo aseh by that lav. Now we're suggesting that a kohen is in a more chamor category because he has lots of mitzvahs applied to him, lots of laving, lots of extra responsibilities and extra restrictions. And therefore, you might have thought that when we say aseh docha lo aseh of a lav she'eino shava bakol, meaning when we learned from the first instance, from the first limud, that the aseh of a mitzora shaving his whole head, that cancels out the lav of payas, which applies only to a man. So you might have thought that that shouldn't then apply to the kohen, because a kohen is extra chamor in the sense that he has lots of mitzvos, lots of lavin. And so therefore you need the second limud to teach you that. And therefore the limud is not available to teach us aseh docha lo aseh in kol haTorah kula, right? Kamash one de dachi, this limud is to teach you that in fact, aseh docha lo aseh for this kohen, who has lots of mitzvahs, he's in a special category, but it's not available to teach you aseh docha lo aseh in kol haTorah kula. Okay, so we're back to our problem. Again, we're looking for a source for aseh docha lo aseh, that a positive commandment, when it runs up against the negative commandment, that the positive commandment wins out. That's what we're looking for, and we still have no source for that because we just rejected our first attempt at finding one. Ela asya merosho dehachtana. The Gemara now suggests, actually, let's go back to that same pasuk. The same pasuk that said that the mitzora shaves his head on the seventh day, right? He shaves his head. And we said es rosho, he shaves his head. That seemed to be extraneous. And this price is going to teach us something, a new approach. We have a brace that says, "Rosho ma talmud lomer." Why do you need that extra pasuk, that extra word in the pasuk of rosho? Lufishenemar tavor lo yavor al rosho. So this is another pasuk. This is a new pasuk when it comes to a nazir, right? A nazir. This is in last week's parsha, right? I think this pasuk was in last week's parsha. Yes. So the Nazir is not allowed to shave his head. Nazir is not allowed to shave his head. Tar lo yavor al rosho. So the Gemara says, the Brisa says, Shomea ani, I might have thought, af mitzora v'nazir king. What about a Nazir who becomes a mitzora, and now it's the seventh day, and the Torah tells him, shave your head. What's this Nazir supposed to do? This again is an instance of an aseh and a lav bumping up against each other. The aseh is that the Torah says that the mitzora should shave his head. The lav is that the nazir is enjoined from shaving his head. Oh, the nazir is not allowed to shave his head. So what do you do? So you might have thought that the pasuk that says that the nazir is not allowed to shave his head stands up even in the face of the aseh of the mitzora who is required to shave his head. So this nazir who's also a Metzora, maybe shouldn't have to shave his head. Talmud Lomar Rosho comes along the Pasuk and teaches you, no, not only is a regular person supposed to shave his head on the seventh day of being a Metzora, but even a Nazir. And this is a source for Asei Doch Halos Asei. Here we have a situation where we have a drasha of Rosho. The Metzora has a positive commandment, an Asei, to shave his head. And notwithstanding the fact that he's a Nazir and he's enjoined from shaving his head, Asei Doch Halos Asei. The Pasuk says Rosho to teach you that in fact he should shave his head. This sounds like a good source for us, for Asei Doch Halos Asei. Now you would apply this in Kol HaTorah Kula as an example. So the Gemara answers, Ikel Mifrach, there's a pircha on that. Malin Nazir, meaning we can't learn that to Kol HaTorah Kula, this is special. Malin Nazir Mitzora Sheken Yeshno B'She'ela. A Nazir is not as strong a lav as your typical lav in the Torah, right? When the Torah tells you you're not allowed to eat nevela, you're not allowed to eat a treifa, you're not allowed to shave your head, you're not allowed to shave your peis. You're not allowed to do all sorts of things. So there's no way out. You're stuck with that lav. That's a firm lav that's going to apply in every instance. But when it comes to a Nazir can undo his neder of Nazirus by going to a Chacham and being Matir Neder. So there's a way out. There's a way out of the Nazirus status. And if that's the case, then the lav of a Nazir shaving his head is not quite as strong as every other lav in the Torah. And so maybe when the Limud here taught you that a positive commandment of the Metzora shaving his head overrides the negative commandment of a Nazir who's not allowed to shave his head, maybe that's only by a Nazir, because a Nazir, he's not such a, that's not such a strong lav, because he could undo it with She'ela. He could get out of the Nazir status. That's not a strong lav. And therefore, you can't apply that as a paradigm for Kol HaTorah Kula. You can't use a mematzina to say that just like by Nazir the Asei is Docha the Lav, so too in Kol HaTorah Kula, because maybe that's just special by a Nazir whose Lav is a little weaker. And the Gemara says, I'll prove to you that that's the case, that we view the Lav of the Nazir as weaker than other standard Lavim. Because if I didn't take that approach, if I didn't think that a Nazir is a little weaker than a regular Lav, there are other sugyas where we hold the ein asei docha lo sasei ve'asei. We have a general concept that an asei is not docha a lo sasei in an asei. That when you have a pasuk that tells you to do something, a asei, and then you have another pasuk that tells you don't do something and do something, meaning that the asei bumps up against a positive commandment and a negative commandment together, that the asei is not docha. And If Nazir should be a good paradigm for Kol HaTorah Kula, then Ligmar mi Nazir. I should learn from Nazir, because a Nazir has an Asei and a Los Asei. The Pasuk says, Tar lo yavar al rosho. The blade should not come across his head. That's a lav, right? Don't do it. And then it says, Kadosh yiye gadol pera. That his hair should grow. That he should be holy, his hair should grow. That's an asei. So a Nazir has a status, or has a pasuk of an asei and a los asei telling him not to shave his head. And if in fact a Nazir was viewed as a strong lav that could be a paradigm to Kol HaTorah Kula, I would have learned from the instance of Nazir that in fact that in fact, asei docha lo sasei vasei. El mi nazir my time lo gamrinon. But why do we not learn from Nazir that asei docha lo sasei vasei? Diko mifrach sheken yeshno b'sheila, because Nazir is not a good paradigm for Kol HaTorah Kula, because it's weak in the sense that it could be undermined by sheila. You could get out of it by going to a chacham. So hachanami. So to hear that argument is a good argument and applies, and Nazir is not a good paradigm to call it Torah Kula, because it is susceptible to She'ela. You could get out of it, so it's not a good paradigm. So once again, we're left without any source, according to the Rabbanan, for Asei Dokalos Asei, and we're stuck. Now here on Omen Aleph, we kept on going back to Rosho by the Mitzora, and we tried that a few times. We're going to abandon that whole approach, and the Gemara now is going to go back to Tzitzis and Shatnez, right? Ela li olam mikra kama. Go back to the first pasuk we had. Forget about Rosho. That doesn't seem to be a good source for us for Asedoch Losase. Let's try to go back to Tzitzis. Now, remember, the problem with Tzitzis was that we didn't have an extra word. We thought every word in that pasuk was necessary, so we didn't have an extra word to teach you that the assay of Tzitzis is Docha the Los assay of Shatnez. According to Tanit Bein Rav Yishmael, we had an extra word because he held that whenever the word says, when pasuk says Beged, it means Semer Pishtim, so he didn't need the word Beged, or he didn't need the word Semer Pishtim, etc. But according to the Rabbanan, that's how we started, we don't have an extra word in Shatnez, so we're going to try again. We're going to go back and try to find an extra word. The Gemara says, Im Kain, Lema Kra Tzitzis Ta'aselecha. The Pasuk could have just gotten away by saying, Tzitzis Ta'aselecha. Make Tzitzis. Gedilim Lamali. Why does the Pasuk have the word Gedilim? Gedilim means like a tapestry or a weaving. Why does the Gemara need the word Gedilim? Shmamina Lafnuye. That's an extra word. That's extra, and maybe that's the extra word that teaches us that asei docha lo sasei, that the mitzvah of tzitzis stands even in the face of shatnez, which is the pasuk, which is right there in the pasuk. So we seem to have now an extra word. That's good news for us. We have an extra word that will teach us asei docha lo sasei. Right? You have tzitzis and shatnez in the same pasuk, an asei and a lav, and we're looking for an extra word in the context of the assay to teach you that that assay is so powerful that it overrides the lav. Here we have an extra word of gedilim, and that's exactly where we want to be. Our answer is no, that's not an extra word. Hi, with shiura hudasa. You need that pasuk of gedilim, because without that pasuk of gedilim, you wouldn't know how many strands of tzitzis, how many strings. As we learn, gedil shnayim. Gedil means like a weaving or a threading. In order to weave something, you can't just weave something with one string. You need two strings. It's kind of right? It's a weaving process involves the interaction of two strings. So gedil, that teaches you two strings. Gedilim is plural, right? So it's gedil, not just gedil, which would mean two strings, but it's gedilim plural. So that teaches you arba. That teaches you have four strings. Asei gedil uposleu mitocho. Take those four strings and stick it through, and then it falls down, and then you're left with eight strings, which is exactly what we have. That's how you learn tzitzis. But the point is that we needed the word gedilim to teach you how many strings of tzitzis you need. So it's not extra for us to teach us asei docha lo sasei. The Gemara says no. The Gemara could have gotten away. The Gemara puzzle could have gotten away with fewer words. Im kain, if all you want to teach is that. Right, if you need the word, I'm sorry, if you need the word gedilim to teach you how many strands, lema kroglo silva shatnez. The pasuk could have just said, don't wear shatnez. Lo silva shatnez semer upishtim. The pasuk could have just said, don't wear shatnez, which is made of wool and linen. Yachtav lamoli. Why do you need the word yachtav? That seems to be an extra pasuk. Shmamino lafnuye. Maybe we can use that extra word. That extra word of yachdav to teach us asei dochalosa asei, not only here but also for kol haTorah. Our answer is vakati mi boilei with tokaf shtei tekifos chibur utkiva achaseinu chibur. We need the word yachdav to teach us another pasuk, which is that when you're weaving together shatnez, it's not enough to do just one stitch; you need to do two. I think this, what this means is that when you think of the tzemer upishtim, the wool and linen textiles right there, the wool and linen materials are right next to each other. In order to be over the lav, they have to be sewn together. So it's not enough for you to just thread the thread through it once, because that's not really threading them together. They're still kind of loose on the thread. You need to wind back and then put it through in order to make it a real thread. So that's what you need the word yachdav to teach you. And in fact, yachdav, therefore, is not extra. And we have no source for this idea of asei tosadokha lo sasei. The Gemara then says, Im kain, if that's all you need to know, is all the, that's all you need to teach. Lichtov Rachmana Lo Silbash Semeru Pishtim Yachtav. Why didn't the Pasuk just say, don't wear wool and linen together? The most simple formulation. Don't wear wool and linen together. That would teach you not to wear linen and wool together. And Yachta would teach you that you got to thread it. Shatnez Lamali. Why is the word shatnez there? There's no need for that extra word shatnez. Shmamina Lafnuya. That should be our extra word to teach us asay docholos asay. The word that says, no, no, no. You need shatnez. You need the word shatnez. Vakate mi baile ach Yeshua tavoy venoz. Because you need shatnez to teach you that it actually has to be, that the wool has to have been combed, that it needs to have been, it needs to be processed wool. You're not over the issur of shatnez unless this is processed wool that's been combed and then spun and whatever the technicalities are. But it needs that. That's what the word shatnez teaches you, because shatnez is a composite of the words shua tavoy venoz. That's shatnez. It's lashon notarikun shua tavoy venoz, and it teaches you that it's got to be processed wool, processed linen, processed textiles. And so we don't have an extra word in the pasuk, and so we don't have a source for asay docholos. Asay, again, we're still searching for this extra word in the pasuk. The Gemara then says ela kula mishatnez nafka. Learn the whole thing from shatnez. The way Rashi and Tosas understand this, it means you could have taught the pasuk could have said it in a normal way, right? Shua tavoy venoz. Why did the pasuk use that weird word of shatnez, a strange word of shatnez that we've never heard of? It's just an odd word. I'm looking at Rashi. Koshav diyuaf nuyeg l'chud nifta v'osuvash kilayim temru pishtim midafik rachmanu v'oshin shatnez darosh be'nami ha. From the fact that the word is a kind of a strange word, that's what the extra limud is, and that is our limud for asay dochalos asay. That's what the Gemara is suggesting. And actually, finally, it's kind of unexpected, after three dafim of searching for a source for asay dochalos asay, that a positive commandment overrides a negative commandment, which could be our source for why we needed the pasuk of Aleha, the Gemara seems to settle on this as the source for asay tochalos asay. But the game's not over, because the Gemara now says, Ashkechan da'asi asay v'dochalos asay greida. Okay, fine. We found a source for this concept that a positive commandment always overrides a negative commandment by a normal mitzvah. However, lo sa'asay sheish bo kares hecha ashkechan d'dachay. But what's the source for an assay overriding a very strong, very, very strong los assay, not just a regular los assay, but a los assay that has with it the penalty of kares, right? That makes it an extra, extra special, extra strong los assay. So just because we now have a source for assay docha los assay greda, a regular assay, overriding a regular assay such as shatnez, we still don't have a source for the concept that assay docha a super strong los assay, such as a los assay sheish bo kares, such as the one we're dealing with, right? When it comes to, we're looking for why would the assay of Yibum have overridden the los assay of Arayus. Those los assays of Arayus are all isure kares. You get kares if you marry your sister, or you marry your daughter-in-law, or whatever, all those 15 instances we talked about. And so we need a source for this concept of assay, docha los assay sheish bo kares, and only that could explain to us why we would then need a pasuk of Aleha to teach you that in this case, it doesn't override the lo sa'aseh. So now the Gemara is going to continue for the next several dapim to try to find a source for asay docha lo sa'aseh sheish bo kares. And we'll start right away. V'chi tema, maybe the following is your source for asay docha lo sa'aseh sheish bo kares. Nelaf mi mila, learn it from mila, right? Mila is a mitzvah of bris mila. And in fact, Mila overrides a lo sase sheish bokaris. What's that? It overrides the Shabbos, right? You can do Mila. The pasuk says that you do Mila on even if the eighth day after the child is born falls out on Shabbos. Shabbos is an Isser Karis. Shabbos is an Isser Karis. Right? Shabbos is really, we think of Shabbos normally as an Isser Skila, right? That you get Skila. But if you did it without Hasra, Edom and Hasra, without proper Hasra, then there's a fallback Karis. So Shabbos is a big deal. So learn it from Mila. Right, Mila overrides Shabbos, so that should be our source in Kol HaTorah Kula for Asei, Docha, Los Asei, Sheish Bokaris. The Gemara says, no, that's not a good source, that's going to be a paradigm for Kol HaTorah Kula, because there's something special about that instance, Mala Mila, Shekein Nichrusu Aleh Shlosh Esrei Brisos. Mila is in a special category, because in the Psukim, when Hashem talked to Avram Avinu about Mila and told him to perform a Bris Mila, it says the word bris 13 times, indicating that there are 13 covenants associated with bris mila. So bris is a super, super duper assay because it has 13 brisos attached to it. And so just because a bris mila overrides a lav sheish bokaris, that's not a good example for Kol HaTorah Kula. We can't learn that in a memet simna to Kol HaTorah Kula because there's something very special about bris. It has 13 brisos attached to it. So then the Gemara suggests, okay, how about Pesach? Right? Pesach, also, you can shech the carbon Pesach if the 14th day of Nisan falls on Shabbos. So, and Pesach is an assay, and Shabbos is a lav sheish bokaris. So maybe the fact that Pesach, that the shechita of the carbon Pesach overrides Shabbos, should teach you that asay dochalosa say sheish bokaris in Kol HaTorah Kula. The Gemara answers, no, that's not a good example because malo pesach shekin karis. Pesach is one of the rare instances of an asay that has karis. By the way, Mila was also one of those rare instances, but the Gemara had a better answer, I guess, for Mila. But by Pesach, Pesach itself is a asay sheish bokaris. So there you have an asay sheish bokaris against a lav sheish bokaris. Maybe that's why Pesach overrides Shabbos. But you couldn't say that to Kol HaTorah Kula for every assay that doesn't have Karis attached to it. So that's not a good paradigm to Kol HaTorah Kula. We have to search for another one. So the Gemara immediately says, okay, what about Tamid? May Tamid. The Karban Tamid is brought every day, the Tamid Shal Shachar, Tamid Shal Bin Arbayim, and it's brought even on Shabbos. And you shech the Tamid. So you're not allowed to do Shechita on Shabbos. And yet you bring a carbon tamid on Shabbos, so that is should be a paradigm for asay dochalos asay sheish bokaris in Kol HaTorah Kula. Your answer is, no, tamid is a special asay, ma'a tamid shekein tadir. Tamid is brought every day. So something that's brought every day is on its own plane, it's on its own special category, it's especially strong because it's brought every day, and maybe the fact that it's brought every day is why it's docha Shabbos. We're not going to let Shabbos get in the way. And so that's not a good paradigm for Kol HaTorah Kula, that asay dochalos asay sheish bokaris by a regular asay that doesn't happen every day. So the Gemara now switches gears and says, okay, we just tried three times to find a paradigm for asay dochalos asay sheish bokaris. And each one was thrown out because the asay had a particular characteristic about it that made it extra strong. But maybe we can put them together in a kind of a tzad hashaveh kind of limud, right? The Gemara often does this. It says, I can't learn from this because it has this particular characteristic. And I can't learn from this because it has this particular characteristic. But maybe if I look at them together and I say, look, both these things accomplish this goal. Both these things, in this case, both these instances of a positive mitzvah override a negative mitzvah. And so just because this thing has a special characteristic that I could point to, and this thing has a different special characteristic that I could point to, but if I put them together, I can say, look, this thing has this special characteristic, but that doesn't have that special characteristic. And this thing has a special characteristic, but that thing doesn't have a special characteristic. I can look at them together and say, but they both share a kind of thing in common. And if I could, I could then learn out to everything in common out there that they share, right? That's called a mematzinu. So here too, let's walk through it. Mechado asya tesa mitarti. Let's put two together, and with that, we're learn. So my tesa mimiro pesach. Let's learn from Mila and Pesach, right? And say Mila is special in the sense that it has 13 brisos. Pesach is special in the sense that it has karis. And so therefore, I couldn't have learned each of them individually to teach you that asay, docholos asay, because each one had a special characteristic. But maybe if I put them together and I say, well, the special characteristic of this is not inherent in this, and the special characteristic of this is not inherent in this, the two of them are kind of similar in a different way, and therefore I'll apply them to every thing that's similar in that way. Namely, that every asay should be docholos asay shish bakaris. The Gemara answer is shukin karis. You can't really put those together because they both share the same special characteristic. It's true we highlighted the fact that by bris, we highlighted the fact that it has 13 brisos, but that wasn't the only thing that's special about it. It's also special in the same way that Pesach is special. They both share that special characteristic that they have karis attached to them, right? If you don't do mila, you're chayiv karis. If you don't do Pesach, you're chayiv karis. And so those two are special, very powerful assays. And so therefore, I can't learn from them to call a tarakua to just an ordinary essay. So let's try to put bunch together two different ones. Mi Pesach v'tamid. I'll say, okay, look, Pesach, even though Pesach is docholos asay, Pesach, right, was going to override Shabbos, and tamid is going to override Shabbos. You bring the carbon tamid even on Shabbos. So I'll say, even though tamid was special and that it was brought every day, and therefore I thought that was a reason why I can't learn it to call it darakula, but Pesach isn't brought every day. Pesach's only brought once a year. And even though Pesach was very special because it's especially powerful because it has a chi of karis attached to it, but tamid doesn't have a chi of karis attached to it. And so I see that there's two similar assays here that don't share those special characteristics. And I'll say, okay, so just like these are two assays, so I could learn to call a tarakua that these are two assays. But the great answer is no, there's something that binds them together that's a special characteristic. Shekein tzorech gavoa. Both of these things are brought on the Mizbeach. They're brought as karbanos. So that makes them very, very special assays, something that's tzorech gavoa, that's for the purpose of a present to Hashem. So that's a very, very special mitzvah. It's a very special mitzvah to bring a karban. And so I can't learn from those two things to call a tarakua because those shared that characteristic. They were very special and that they're brought as presents to Hashem. So let's try again. Mimila v'tamid. Okay, fine. If you want to find something that's not special in that it's tzorech gavoa, look at mila, right? Mila and tamid are both paradigms of assays that are docha los assays. They're both docha Shabbos. And we, even though we said mila is very strong because it has kares or because it has 13 brisos attached to it, and maybe that's why it is it overrides the lav, but look at tamid. Tamid doesn't have those special characteristics, and yet it's over the lav. So maybe it's not those special characteristics that are responsible for it being over the lav. And tamid, I couldn't learn that alone because it had a special characteristic in that it was tadir, it was brought every day. But look, mila is not done every day. Mila is only done once a lifetime, right? And so maybe it's not that special characteristic of it being brought every day that is responsible for this asay being docha the lav. I could bunch them together and say, look, you have two varied assays that don't share the same characteristic. They're both common in that they're assays. They're docha the lav. So I should say, call it arakula, assay docha los assay. My answer is no. Mila and tamid also share a very special characteristic, shekein yeshnan lifnei hadibur, because they were both commanded before Har Sinai. Those were both mitzvos that were commanded early on, even before the Torah was given. This is according to the Man D'Amar who holds that when the Klal Yisrael brought karbanos in the Midbar, even before Matan Torah, it was a tamid that they brought. So it seems to be that tamid was commanded even before Kol HaTorah, even before Matan Torah, even before Har Sinai. And so Milah and Tumid are super special mitzvos because they both were commanded before Matan Torah, and therefore they can't be your paradigm for Kol HaTorah Kula, because those share a very special characteristic, and you can't learn from them that Aseh Dochos Aseh in Kol HaTorah Kula. And then the Gemara says, for that matter, Umikuhu Nami, even if you tried to bunch up all, what are there, five of them, four of them, all of these Aseh's, and say each of them has a particular characteristic, but they don't share a characteristic that makes them special, and therefore maybe all together we could bunch them up and say, this is a paradigm for Kol HaTorah Kula. We say, no, that's not true, because Shekein Yeshna with the name of Dibur. If you look at actually closely, each one of these mitzvos, each one of these assays was commanded before Har Sinai, and so maybe they're in a special category. Maybe they're super special assays, and just because they're Docha, the Los Assay Sheish Bokaris of Shabbos, that doesn't serve as a paradigm, as an example for Kol HaTorah Kula to teach you that every assay out there should be Docha, Los Assay Sheish Bokaris. So we're again left without any source, according to anyone, right? We're not distinguishing anywhere between Tanya Devi Shmuel and the Rabbanon, because they were both talking about a regular love. But both of them now, according to everyone, we're searching for a source for the notion that I say Docha Los Assay Sheish Bokaris in Kol HaTorah Kula. So where are we going to get it from? The Gemara is going to try again with a brand new pasuk that we haven't seen yet. It's going to try again. El itzrich, you need aleha, because sakatayt chamina pesei mekibud aveim. You might have thought that you could learn asei dochalos asei in Kol HaTorah Kula, or I should say, you might have thought that the concept of asei dochalos asei applies to yibam also, from the fact that we learn it to Kol HaTorah Kula from kibud aveim. So now we're going to look at kibud aveim as our paradigm, as our source for asei dochalos asei sheish bokaris. Titanya, we have a brace that says, Yachol yehi kibud aveim docha Shabbos. You might have thought the mitzvah, the positive commandment of kibud aveim, is docha Shabbos. Talmud lomar ish imo v'aviv tiro, v'yaz shav sosai tishmoru, kuchem chayavim b'chlodi. From the fact that the pasuk says together, ish imo v'aviv tiro, from the fact that the pasuk says this, that teaches you that kibud aveim is not docha Shabbos, which and my love, and presumably this is talking about a situation where the father said to the son on Shabbos, go shecht an animal for me and go cook it for me. He asked him to prepare him his meal. That would have been a violation of Shabbos. You're not allowed to shecht, you're not allowed to cook on Shabbos. And the pasuk here is teaching you, Ishimo v'aviv tiro, that in fact, that the asay of kibud aveim is not docha Shabbos. So we have to kind of switch our mindset here for a moment, because the Gemara did a little trick here. Up until now, every source we've been trying to identify for asay dochalos asay has been a source where the pasuk teaches you asay, that instance of asay is dochalos asay, right? Every source we've brought has been a situation where we have an asay and we have a los asay, and the pasuk tells you do the asay even in violation of the los asay, right? That was true by shatnez. We said wear the tzitzis even though it's going to be shatnez. We said shave the head even though it's going to be a violation of peos. We said shave the head even though it's going to be a violation for the nazir who's not allowed to shave his head. Those were all we were trying to do, and those were all going to be paradigms for the concept of asei dochalos asei. The Gemara kind of switched techniques here and says, I'll prove to you that asei dochalos asei from the fact that I have a pasuk that teaches you that in a particular instance, it's not docha los asei. That proves to you that normally Asay dochalosa say. It's the exact opposite of what we're doing. I don't think I was clear. Let's try again. Up until now, we've been saying, we've been looking for a paradigm, a source for asay dochalosa say. And in order, sheish bokaris, right? And in order to find that, we've been trying, or whatever, asay dochalosa say. In order to find that, we've been trying to find a model of an asay overriding a losa say. Fine. Here, what we're doing is exactly the opposite. We're saying, if we can find a pasuk that teaches you that an asay is not doche alos asay, that shows us that that's the exception, and in Kol HaTorah Kula, the asay is doche alos asay, from the fact that you needed a pasuk to teach you otherwise. Because if not for that fact, then I wouldn't have needed this pasuk. So that's the point here. The pasuk here is teaching you that here the asay is not doche alos asay. So the Gemara says, oh, if the pasuk is teaching you here that the asay is not doche alos asay, that must mean that the default rule, that the regular rule, the baseline rule, is that asay doche alos asay. So this pasuk, the existence of this pasuk teaching you just the opposite, is a source, in fact, for the concept that asay doche alos asay. That's what that's how we're learning this. So that's the idea. So the pasuk is teaching us, as Shabbos says, "Tishmor kulchem chayav chodim." My love, damro ishchol li basheli. The time of the Kazar Rachman as Shabbos says, "Tishmoru." And the pasuk is teaching you that, in fact, no, as Shabbos says, "Tishmoru." That the asay here doesn't override the losa asay. You have to keep Shabbos. You have to keep Shabbos. It doesn't override losa asay. Halav hachi dachi. That teaches you that in Kol HaTorah Kula, if not for this pasuk, you would need that in fact, that say docha losa say sheish bokaris. So we're now going to continue with undermining that limud, and I'll continue on to again try to find the source for a say docha losa say in Kol HaTorah Kula.
Yes, you guys.
Okay, baruch tia.